Well, hello, everyone. I want to welcome you to Rockstar Referrals, How to Generate Clients Through Referrals. My name is Khadija Yansani. I'm a life and business coach at bloomngu.com, and I help centered, spirit-led women who are committed to sharing their gifts in the world to finally get paid doing the work they love. So if you're listening, you're probably a coach, a holistic practitioner, or some sort of service-based business provider. And one of the biggest questions I get is, how do I get clients and where do I find them? And although there are many ways to get clients or create clients, as I like to say, but today we're going to spend some time talking about how to get clients specifically through referral. And today I've invited one of my rock star clients, Michelle Dyer, who's a health coach and was voted best nutritionist in the San Francisco East Bay. She's a client that I love to brag about, and she's going to share her rock star referral tips with us. You know, when we started working together, she was already doing pretty well in her business and was looking to scale and expand and streamline, and she has a thriving coaching practice, and she's going to share her experience and tips around getting clients through referrals today. So welcome, Michelle.
Thank you, Khadija. Thank you so much for having me and talking to me about this. I'm really excited, and I love sharing anything that might be helpful to people. So I hope someone walks away, or I hope everybody walks away with something, some sort of gold nugget today.
Oh, I'm sure they will, and thank you so much for being here. So can you tell us a little bit about your health coaching business, who you serve, how you help them, that kind of thing?
Great, yeah. So I am a holistic health coach and certified nutrition consultant, and I work with mostly women, and really my goal is to guide them and support them on their path towards greater vibrancy, energy, and wellness, and it's through my holistic approach to health where I'm addressing that mind, body, spirit, and I love that about the work that I'm doing. We can talk about healthy foods to eat and how to nourish ourselves, but unless we also adjust some of our mindset and really take care of ourselves. You know, as I like to say, no amount of fish oil in the world is gonna counter the inflammation we can cause by stress in our lives or the messages we tell ourselves. And so I really love the work that I'm doing. I have an office in Oakland, California on Piedmont Avenue, which I love because I get to walk to work.
Awesome.
And that is a wonderful part of my the balance that I'm creating with my business and with my life. And I also see clients over the phone all around the country. In fact, I had a client once from Saudi Arabia, so I can say that
wow.
I'm international. and I love that balance. I find most of my clients do really appreciate the in-person connection. And I have a lot of clients that I get that are in the area who also enjoy walking to my office. But I also love serving clients all around the country. I get referrals from former clients, and they're like, oh, you need to talk to my cousin. She lives in New Jersey. And I love that balance of both in-person and phone clients. It works really, really well for me. In terms of more specifics, I love helping people with healthy weight loss, and I feel like I have a really unique approach to it where we're really addressing things from that bigger perspective, the hormones, the self-care, the stress management, sleep, as well as food. So I do a lot around that, hormonal balance, digestive health. I also work with vegetarian and vegans. So it's a nice variety that keeps me excited and interested every day. So,
beautiful. I mean, I've always loved this about the way you describe your work, just the holistic model of it. And we know as coaches, you know, sometimes people come in with one issue, and just the fact that you're working with all the deeper layers, that it's mind, body, and spirit is so beautiful.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So can you tell the ladies, like, why did you become a coach in the first place? Like, what drew you to health coaching?
Great. I'll try to keep it a short story. So like many people in the holistic health field, I had my own health crisis. I was a high school teacher. I loved my work, but felt like it was time to perhaps move on. And I was seeking a new career, but wasn't sure where to go. And in that process, I got really, really sick. I got basically a cold that wouldn't go away. I had laryngitis. I had a cough. And I'm talking like months where I was sick. And I'm normally a fairly healthy person, a very energetic person, a very vibrant person. And I just felt my soul kind of draining away. Mm-hmm. It was really, really hard. And I went to see, you know, my quote-unquote allopathic traditional doctors, and no one was helping me. And I felt so lost and so confused and not sure where to go. And I'm doing what so many people do nowadays, where I start searching the internet, and everything I would see, mm-hmm. it was sort of a contradictory thing, like, do I do this? And I really needed to feel better, and I needed someone to help me take charge of my health. And so I saw a fantastic naturopathic doctor, got some great supplements, started healing my digestion, which I had no idea was a mess, found out I had a dairy sensitivity, started to feel better, but really realized I needed someone to guide me through, okay, like, if I'm not going to be eating dairy, well, what do I eat? I was relying on dairy for a lot of my protein. And really just, even though the naturopathic doctor was so incredible, I still felt really alone in making these changes. And so a couple months after I started to feel better, my asthma went away, my energy came back, the 25 pounds that I had gained the last few years just literally fell off my body. As I started to heal my gut and adjust all these things about my life. And one day, literally, a little message popped up on my email, and I normally ignore those, and it says, do you want to transform people's lives through holistic nutrition? And I thought, yes, I do. And that was literally on the first day of school of my last year of teaching. This whole world opened up to me, and it was one of those yeses that every time, like, it was an immediate yes, and it was so confirmed by the very next day. I'm supposed to be setting up my classroom, and instead of doing that, people were coming to me asking me nutrition questions. I'm an English teacher. Like, it was such a clear affirmation from the universe, like, yes, this is your path. And so, you know, it's really, when people come in and they're overwhelmed and they're confused and they're not sure what to do and they feel like they're doing everything right and everything seems wrong, I feel like I get it, you know, I really get it. And so I'm really, you know, in hindsight, grateful for that tremendous health challenge that I went through, because it has created an empathy and compassion within me that even if someone's exact story is different, I get that feeling.
What a powerful story, and just all the signs that this is the direction you're supposed to be moving in. And I'm sure that your clients connect you even more deeply because you know you've been there in some capacity, what they've gone through.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how would you say you kind of transitioned from being a teacher to being a coach? Like, did it happen all at once? You know, sometimes people ask, like, do I quit? What was the path like for you?
That is such a great question. And like I said, it was literally the first day of school that this new path opened up. And I'm a researcher. I like to dot my I's and cross my T's. And so I started researching programs, and I started doing informational interviews. And I'm also I move quickly sometimes when I've made a decision. And so I chose a program. I found a master's program in health and nutrition education, signed up, enrolled, and started, I think, in the December. So this whole thing happened in August, but this thing popped up on my screen. I had enrolled by that December and started classes while I was still teaching. Now, I was teaching part-time, so I had the space available to start my coursework, which felt so fantastic. And for me, I decided that it was, you know, obviously I was going to finish the school year, but I wanted to say goodbye to teaching and then just focus on finishing my master's. I felt like if I was trying to stay within those two worlds, it would be too tempting to stay longer than I wanted to, and I was ready to kind of close that chapter and move on to the next part of my life. And I'll be very honest with everybody, there was many a time that next year when I'm not earning an income, I'm still finishing my school program, you know, I'm starting my business, a lot of money's going out to create my business, and I'm like, oh, what did I do? Did I make the wrong decision? Yeah. You know, should I have stayed another year? What if I, you know, all these, like, shoulda, coulda, wouldas. And every time those popped up, I was like, just keep the faith. Just trust that this is all unfolding. You know you. This is what you needed to do. You needed a clean break. So I think for everybody, there's no right or wrong way to do it. It was what I needed to do. And and I was able to finish my master's program much, much more quickly, which was important to me. I was ready to get started. And so from the start to the end of my master's program, I did it in a little over a year. And then was ready to launch my business. So that felt really great to me and for me. And then in terms of the transition, you know, one of the beautiful things about it, you know, because these are the other thoughts that you have, or at least I had. So I was 37 when I was making this career change. And, of course, there's these, like, you know, cluttered thoughts that pop in, like, who are you to change your career at 37? And, like, you have a master's degree in English and a teaching credential. Like, look at all the money you've invested in your former education, and you're just going to let that go, right? And I had to just trust that, right, every step that I had taken was leading me to this next step. And so one of the things I love about the work that I do is that I know all of those skills that I cultivated while I was a teacher has transferred over so beautifully to my coaching business. And it's, you know, it's so funny, like I'll sometimes hear from clients that, you know, they appreciate how well organized I am, or if I give them a handout that it's really clear and easy to follow. And I kind of laugh every single time because it's what my students used to say about, you know, the handouts I gave them. And so, and to me, the beauty of it also is, I don't have to grade anybody. That was the dark side of teaching that started to really weigh on me. And I don't have to be like, well, you ate your broccoli, but you had a piece of chocolate, so I'm going to give you a B+. Like, I don't have to do that. And I love just being present with my clients and supporting them in their goals. And you know, if they didn't make their goals, having a conversation about that and not having to give a grade. So it's for me, felt like a really beautiful transition, even though the field itself, I was an English teacher, is so different from nutrition and health, but the skills have directly transferred over. And I think that's one thing I, you know, really encourage people to kind of see, like, where are those threads that even though it's being spun in a different way, it's still that same skill, whether it's organizing or connecting with people or sharing your passion or whatever it is, it's still that same energy flow. So
I'm just loving the thread that nothing's wasted, you know, and that you were able to hold on to that, and that all of these, like, everything that you learn, all the experiences you have, they're now part of you, and you get to offer them to your coaching practice in the way, like, the parts of teaching that you love, you get to keep, and the parts that you don't have to bring with you. So that's so
absolutely
encouraging. Do you remember getting your first client and how that happened, what that was like?
Yeah, so actually, I was thinking about that, and it's those first few months are a little blurry. It's funny. my first paid client, I believe, was someone I had wanted to create a group, and so I had started a meetup, and I had one person show up, and that was this person, and I said, you know what, I would love to still lead you through this, you know, I think it was six sessions that we were going to have. I would still love to lead you through these six sessions at the price that I was going to charge for the group, and she was game, and she was on it, and so I think it was maybe like $150 for six sessions, you know, something like that. But it was, you know, it's that energetic, like, saying yes and just gaining more experience. And I'm so grateful for that, and so grateful for that opportunity. So I think that was my first paid client. And then, you know, I think like many people, I remember in school, they're like, you know, you kind of hang out your virtual shingle. And, you know, I had an office, but very much in Aries this way. I actually had my office before I even launched my business. It just came up, and I launched my business in March, and I paid on my office for the first time in January, kind of this, if you build it, they will come attitude. And, you know, it was hard those first, like, I would say, like, 2 months because I was ready and they weren't coming yet. And then I would say right around June, I don't know if it was an energetic shift. I don't know what happened, but somewhere right around June, I started getting clients that were just, you know, I got my first phone call, right? I remember this, actually, the first time just someone called and said, hi, I would like to talk to you about, you know, maybe working with you. And I was like, oh, my God, someone called me. and so right around June, I started, you know, getting some clients, and the rest was sort of history from there. I just kind of kept building. So,
so again,
have faith. Have the faith in those few months when it's like, you know, you're waiting and waiting and waiting and you're excited. And I kept working, you know what I mean? I kept going to events or, you know, writing blog posts or doing these things. And also too, and maybe you've given this suggestion before, when I would talk to other people, they'd say, enjoy this time, like enjoy the quiet of this time. Because once your business takes off, like this is a beautiful time and space for you. And I would love to go back to that myself, you know, 3.5 years ago and say, like, listen to what they're saying. Enjoy this time. So, yeah.
Well, it's interesting. Again, other threads is like you keep using the word faith and that you had faith when you were leaving your job and when you saw this thing pop on the computer that this is the direction that you're going to move into. So one of the things we talk a lot about is like intuition and trusting yourself and seeing you know, following those inner nudges, even though they might seem crazy to someone else, but you're like, no, if I build it, but I believe it, like you believe it, and it kept coming. And the interesting thing, which I talk a lot about, you know, one way to get clients is to host events, and I love you here saying that you hosted an event and one person came, right? And some person, you know, might be like, only one person came, right? And I've shared a story of where I had an experience where one person came to my meetup, and they also, like Michelle said, signed up for a 7-week program. So you don't want to think that, you know, one client is one person that walks in the door. So I love
Absolutely.
That this person was game. You said yes, and you didn't let it deter you. So that's
absolutely. Yeah, inspiring. Absolutely. And it just builds and builds and builds from there. So, and I think it's just, again, the intuition and really, I think the other thing I would tell myself back then, like, you don't have to have it all figured out, you know, like, it's okay that you're figuring it out as you go. Like that is really okay, that it really, you know, is a process, and you will figure these things out as you go along. So, again, my desire to like need to have it all figured out, like the moment I start, like, it's okay. You don't need to. So, and that's also too where I think it's really important to be, you know, in a group, be around other practitioners, seek out someone like you, Khadija, because it's so important that we not get stuck in our heads, which can, like, you know, those thoughts can ricochet around, and have a place to voice them and be like, I'm freaking out. And everyone just say, like, that's okay, and you can do this. So, I think that's really important too.
Awesome. So in terms of since we're talking about rock star referrals, like, do you remember how you got your first coaching referral?
I can't actually remember my first referral, but I do remember, again, using that early time in my business to really create relationships, and that was really important to me. And so that's how I think of referral partners, is really as creating relationships. I don't always I'm a pretty outgoing person. I'm a friendly person, but I don't always love going to these kind of big networking events. And for me personally, they haven't really translated to a lot of referrals or a lot of partnerships. But you know, connecting with people one-on-one. So for example, I connected with a naturopathic doctor who also was working on Piedmont Avenue, and she was so gracious. We went out for lunch. She was actually already working with a nutritionist because she was in a BNI group, a BNI networking group, and there was a nutritionist in that group. And she said, and so I was trying to be like, you know, all careful, like, oh, I know you're already working with a nutritionist, but, you know, and she's like, look, you know, here's the thing is that I have this great relationship with this nutritionist, and sometimes, you know, I have clients that are a better fit for somebody else, and so I'm always going to refer to her if I think it's a good fit. For example, I was working with vegan and vegetarian clients, and the nutritionist that she was working with didn't really feel comfortable with that, and so this naturopathic doctor would actually, I think this might have been one of my first referrals, sent me a client that she was working with who wanted to get pregnant and was working on supporting her fertility and was vegan and needed some guidance on how to make sure she was doing a nourishing vegan eating plan. And this client was wonderful to work with. And so I think that's the, you know, I think I was afraid at first, like, oh, you know, they already have a relationship with so-and-so or they already are in this group. And the truth is, and this is really, you know, the truth for me as well, is it's so good to have a wide referral network because not everybody is a great fit for everybody. So like with massage, I have a lot of people that I like to refer to because everybody's style of massage is a little bit different or their approach is a little bit different. And so I can really think about my client and the kind of personality they are, the kind of massage they might look for, and refer them to someone that I think would be the best fit for them. And so I think it's getting out of that scarcity mindset in terms of, oh, you know, we can only work with one of this and one of that, and really recognizing that the more rich and varied and multi-layered our referral network is, the better we can then serve our clients. And so, and so that's how I really try to see it as this garden, right? Like you don't just have like one rose bush, right? You have like a lot of rose bushes and you have like a couple different rosemaries and you have, I don't know, whatever. Like it's that variety. And same thing too, I do referrals with other nutrition practitioners because there might be someone that I feel like is a better fit for one of my colleagues. And so I love referring out to someone that I think like, hey, you know, you might want to talk to this person. I feel like they might be a good fit for you and vice versa. And so, you know, so really seeing it as a relationship, really recognizing that that rising tide raises all boats. There are plenty of people to serve for all of us. It's not about competition. And I think approaching it with that energy and that mindset, you know, I think is part of the success of having a good referral network in that way. So
it's interesting because it also sounds like, because, you know, when we're talking about getting clients, you're talking about your specialty and your niche. It's like the clearer you are about what services and offers that you have, then it's easier to refer out. So it's like, oh, okay,
absolutely.
She specializes in vegan and vegetarianism, or she specializes in hormones. And
right.
So it seems like it makes it even easier to refer people. And it's more about collaboration rather than competing because it's like, oh, okay,
absolutely.
We have complementary services.
Absolutely, absolutely. And one of the things I've come to really recognize in terms of attracting my ideal client is that it really is someone who's already getting some sort of holistic health, you know, or health care, self-care. So they're already seeing an acupuncturist or they see a reflexologist or they've gone to a naturopathic doctor, you know, that they're getting regular massage or getting regular chiropractic care, whatever it is, whatever the modality is for them, or that they have seen someone that does that. They recognize the importance of self-care. They are open to a holistic approach to health. And so to be working with other people in those fields is a great place to put my energy and my focus because, A, I'm often referring them out, right? Like, I think acupuncture would be really helpful for you. Here's a couple people that you might want to contact. Or I've told clients, like, you have to get a massage every month. Like, this is just, I'm writing you a prescription. Like, you have to make this happen. And so, again, it's that mutual beneficial, you know, relationship. And and disservice to my clients so that their health and wellness and vitality and the things that we're working on together, you know, can be served in these different ways.
Mm. I love this, you giving them out prescriptions to practice self-care in all these different ways.
Yeah.
So how would you say for someone starting out, like how do they even open up the conversation with someone that they're thinking about mm-hmm. collaborating with or wanting to put into their referral network?
That's a great question. I think the first thing I would say is don't give up. If you get 20 non-responses, that 21st one's going to be a great relationship. So, mm-hmm. for example, I'm a very friendly person. Like, I'm the person, you know, that goes up and introduces myself to the new person. Like, you look new. Hi, I'm Michelle. You know, when I was in mm-hmm. elementary school, the teachers would always have me be like, can you show so-and-so around? I'd be like, I'd love to. when I first got my office, I sent out a little letter to everybody like, hi, I'm Michelle, and I'm new to the office. And I sent it to everybody in this office complex area, and I don't think I heard back from anybody. And I sent out some emails, and I said, you know, and at first I was like, oh, like I took it personally, like, oh, no one wants to connect with me. But it's okay. People got a lot going on. And so, I think it's just reaching out. And again, I think for me too, and I was thinking about this in preparing for today's conversation, you know, I don't know if you see this a lot, Khadija, but I think I tend to attract a client that's very similar to me often mm-hmm. in personality and mindset and approach. And so one of the ways that's helpful for me to think about who I might want to do referral partners with is who is someone that I like to see or who is someone that I would like to work with, because chances are my client would too, and chances are totally. We're attracting similar kinds of clientele in that way, and so that's going to be a good fit. And so I think seeking out people, and maybe it's just a casual conversation where you're like, hey, I just want to let you know I'm doing this, and if you ever want to meet for coffee, so, you know, it was a coffee date or a juice date or going for a walk with somebody or stopping by their office or having a chat, going out for lunch, you know. And again, in the beginning, when I had more time to do that, it was a great use of my time because I was building these relationships when I wasn't seeing as many clients, right? Because I only had a couple clients in the beginning. And so I think that's a, you know, really, really helpful thing to do. And I think it's also trusting that if someone doesn't get back to you or it's not, you know, for whatever reason you reach out and you don't direct, like, don't take it personally. It's not you, right? And also trusting that, again, that faith that you're going to connect with the people that you need to and want to
serve.
Connect with. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, and I was going to say the other thing, too, is if something feels like I should, you know, if it feels like I should, then take a step back and be like, well, where's that should coming from? Is this a desire? Is this a want to? Is this something I feel excited about? Or am I shooting myself into this, you know, going to this event or meeting with this person and, you know, really shifting that either to like, yeah, I really do want to do this and I'm excited about this. Or if it is a should, really thinking like, is that, you know, where you want to spend your time and your energy?
Totally. So yeah, this brings us back to like, if you're listening to this, you're a heart-centered person, you're spirit-led. So I love that you're talking about like following your heart. Like, who are the people that I would want to visit as practitioners or people that are compatible in your niche? Would I want to see them? You want to connect with people that are, you know, they're going to take care of your people well. And so it's, I'm you know, teasing out some of these threads that you're talking about that are so valuable. So it's not about forcing yourself to do things that don't feel good, but she also stresses, you know, spending some time getting to know someone. As you were talking, I was kind of thinking about dating, right?
You
know, you go on a few dates with the person, get to know them and see if there's a connection, an authentic relationship there that can build. So. Awesome.
Exactly. And I did quite a few, I mean, with many of the practitioners that I've done referrals with, we've done some sort of trade, you know, so that we get to experience what it's like to to work with each other. And I think that's really valuable too, so that you're not just meeting them as a person, but as a practitioner or as a leader or whatever they're doing. You know, you get to be in their space, you get to experience them in that professional role. And so I think that's another really, you know, lovely thing to bring up if it, you know, again, kind of in the dating analogy, if it feels like you're ready for that next step, you know, I think that can be a really nice thing to do. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a full-blown trait of like your entire program, but at least spending an hour or whatever, you know, doing some sort of exchange. I found that to be really helpful.
So good. I just want to add that, like, your referrals, whether it's your referrals or testimonials, like, people take that so seriously. Like, it's such a gift for someone to be able to refer you to someone or to, you know, write a testimony for you. And you're just making me think, because someone recently asked me if I wanted to be an affiliate for, they had a health program. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, she hadn't, I don't know her very well, and I haven't had any taste of her work other than, you know, just seeing posts on Facebook. But just what you're saying, like, if you act like, had she said, like, here, you know, look at, you know, class one, let me know what you think.
Right.
It's like you actually have an experience of the person, experience of the work, and you then can feel good to say, like, oh, my God, I saw this program. I tested it out. So you're not just giving referrals. You know, like, people can take you seriously and trust you. So that's kind of like
Absolutely.
Your word when you're saying, go to Michelle. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, well, I know her.
So yep.
I love that.
Absolutely.
That.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
So are there any other, like, referral do's and don'ts that come to mind for you?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's, you know, some of the suggestions that have stuck with me that I heard early on is, again, kind of go to the places that you like to spend time and find the people there, right? So it may not necessarily be your client, but it might be. But that's going to be a like-minded place, a like-minded, you know, energy, whatever it is. And that might be something. So, for example, I work out at this wonderful women-only dance studio, and it's my happy place. I love it so much. And I've gotten clients from, you know, just people that I've danced with, but I've also met other holistic practitioners and then had, you know, conversations with them. And that's been really great because, again, it's like there's a very clear kind of vibe and energy to that space. It's very, like, body positive, you know, love is important, like heart-centered, as you were saying. And so it's very, very likely that if someone is working out there a lot, that we're going to have a similar kind of approach to things. And so, and I love spending time there anyway. So making relationships and referral relationships within that space has been a wonderful thing for me because it's like, yeah, we already know we're kind of on the same page, and I don't necessarily have to feel like I need to, you know, I know for me, one of the things that I, in the beginning, felt like I sort of had to try was maybe doing like a BNI group. And so I've been a guest at multiple BNI groups, keep thinking like, maybe I should give this a try. And every time I go, and it works great for some people, and it is a referral network specifically designed for that. And that works really, really well for some people. And I've just, again, listening to my heart and my intuition when I've gone to those groups. It was nothing personal against groups. I met very nice people. I felt very welcome. But my heart was just like, nope, Michelle, this is not for you. This is not where you need to spend your time. This is not where you need to spend your energy. And trusting that, and, again, not feeling like, well, you should be in a BNI group. And again, if it works for you, do it, right? Like, someone else might go to that BNI group and be like, yes, this is exactly what I need, right? And so I gave it a try because I didn't want to not give it a try. So I think that's the other thing, too, is be open, experiment, see what, you know, works. Like, I wouldn't know that unless I went to a couple and then I was like, okay, no, this is not right for me. And I even revisited it like a year or two later to think like, well, maybe now I want to do it. And then I go and I'm like, nope, it's still not my thing.
Yeah.
And so I think it's those two pieces, being open, but then also trusting that you know, what's going to work well for you. Same thing with, like, networking events. You know, I would kind of push myself a little bit in the beginning because it was, you know, kind of pushing myself outside of my comfort zone. And then after I went to a couple, even though they were for conscious business folks or conscious built practice, I met really, really nice people, and I enjoyed going to them. But in terms of referral partners, for me, it just didn't work out, right? That wasn't where I was finding my people. And so, but for somebody else, that might be great. So I think in terms of the do's or don'ts, the key is, like, you know, find the thing that works for you, that you enjoy doing, that seems to be leading to the kind of referral partners that you want to, and then do that, right? Like, there's no need to force yourself to do something that's not enjoyable or that's not giving you the kind of return that you're looking for. And also, I don't have one referral partner that, you know, I get all my business from by any means. It's like a little trickle here, a little trickle here, a little trickle here. But it's, again, about building that web of relationships. And I just kind of trust that, I can sort of picture the circle of practitioners, you know, that we're all interconnected and we're all kind of serving this higher purpose. And if, you know, if I pop into someone's mind, like, hey, you know who you should go see is Michelle. Like, I just trust that they'll send me the people that they feel like is a good fit for me and vice versa. Totally. So I guess that's the other thing too, is, you know, kind of what we were alluding to before, is make sure you know, it feels like a good referral for your clients, that it's someone that you would see or that you trust or that you feel is, you know, an excellent practitioner. And so to that degree, I guess the other kind of piece of it is, you know, if you have a nice relationship or conversation with someone and they're a nice person, but it just doesn't seem like a good fit, don't feel obligated to then send somebody to them, right? Like, it's just, again, like the dating thing, like, just because you go on one date with someone doesn't mean you're obligated to go on a second
to
date.
Marry them and have kids, right?
Yeah, or marry them or have kids, and they may not be, like, a bad person, or it may not be a bad date. Like, they might be a perfectly wonderful practitioner, but if it's not, you know, if there wasn't a jive of energy there, then let that go. And I think that's, you know, recognizing that's okay too, you know.
Yeah.
So,
do you offer a referral fee, or is it that, let's say, you know, you refer clients to them that might be a fit, and they refer clients to you? Like, how do
So far I've kept it with no fee. It's been very organic in that way. I don't think there's anything wrong with doing that. It just hasn't been something that I've done. I usually send them either a thank you note or a thank you email. But in terms of any kind of fee, it just hasn't been something that I've done. And I would say vice versa. Like, any, you know, anytime someone's kind of reached out to me, as a potential referral, you know, I haven't been paid by anyone. And for me, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but for me, it just kind of keeps that part clear, you know, like, it kind of removes any of that. I don't know. Again, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but it kind of creates that piece out of it. So,
cool.
Yeah.
And so I know we've been talking about, because you're a nutrition and health coach, do you have any thoughts around, let's say, someone who's a relationship coach or a business coach, in terms of them finding, what thoughts do you have around them finding referral partners?
Yeah, that's a great question, because, I think it's the kind of people that would be also seeing, you know, like, if you're working with someone as a business coach and you know that they might want, you know, maybe, like, you connect with, like, a web designer, right? Because, like, you want to make good referrals to someone who's, like, starting their business and they're going to need a beautiful web designer. So maybe create relationships with some local web designers. And I can tell you, if I was starting out and I was working with a business coach and they said, hey, check out these people, I would have been great, because I would have thought that would have been awesome, because I felt really overwhelmed by that decision. Mm-hmm. So I think, kind of, again, thinking about the needs of your maybe that's just a helpful exercise, like what are the kind of things that my client might need that I don't do, right? I don't, you know, I don't do web design. I don't do, you know, logo design or business card design or whatever it is, but this is something that I know is going to be really important to my client. And so those are the kind of people to refer to. And likewise, someone's talking to a, you know, for example, I'm imagining the conversation that I had with my web guy when I was first creating my website, and I wrote all my own copy, and I think it was fine. I don't think there was anything wrong with it, but, you know, that could have been a spot where the web designer could be like, hey, if you need any help writing copy, I've got this excellent copywriter.
Totally.
You know, so I think it's really envisioning and anticipating, and it might even be something that they don't even know they need, right? Because that's what we do as coaches, is anticipate some of those things. They know what they want, and we know what they might need, and so anticipating what those needs might be. With a relationship coach, I'm envisioning someone who might be great at doing, you know, headshots for their online presence, or, you know, a
stylist.
Yeah. It's like I met this great guy, you know, we haven't really stayed connected, but at an event that I went to, who was a style coach and a relationship coach for men, and specifically his target audience was like tech guys, like tech dudes, you know, who are fashion sense was pretty much, you know, Dockers and an Izod shirt. And I was like, yes, like that is brilliant, because while he's, you know, instilling confidence and helping them kind of with their head game, he's also like, hey, you know, here's how to express yourself through your clothes or through your haircut or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think those kind of relationships would, or, you know, referral relationships would be excellent. So yeah, I think it's really getting creative about like, ooh, like what would really, you know, what would they really love to be, you know, who would I love to be connecting with, and who are the kind of people that my clients would, you know, really need. And so it's coming from that place of service, and then you let that guide your relationships.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, this has been such an awesome conversation. I love how you have organically, you know, touched on having faith, you know, following the synchronicity, following the signs, trusting yourself, you know, stretching outside of your comfort zone, but still coming back to like, does this, you know, network seem right for me? Is this strategy right for me? And to continue coming back to yourself and doing what resonates. I love how we talked about like foreseeing the needs of your client before that, you know, so what are the other services that they might need along with your expertise. So, you know, when we're talking about relationships, you know, maybe they need help with writing their ad online, or maybe they need fashion help or photographs. So who are all the other, when you're looking at a team to help you be your best, what are all the other legs that your clients could use help and support with? And I love, again, how you've talked about, you know, really building the relationships, getting to know people, and letting them have a taste of your services so they can confidently say, you know, I saw Michelle, and I think you guys would be a great fit. So you can really trust the person's referral. So
Absolutely.
Any final thoughts before we talk more about how people can get in touch with you and learn more about your work?
No, I think that was a beautiful synopsis, and I really, I think, you know, just the culminating thought is, and this took me a little while to recognize, is that, well, one of the greatest takeaways early on was, you know, you're not in competition with anybody, because people want to work with you, right? They're excited about you, and they want to work with you. And so, again, it just removes that scarcity. It removes that sense of competition, and recognizing there's no one that is you, right? So that to really, again, step into, and I think this is where when we're heart-centered, holistic practitioners, this is such an amazing opportunity for us to really embody that and embody our own sense of self and our own self-confidence, our own self-worth, which you've been amazing to help me with, Khadija, about my own value, all those pieces. And so, again, anything that we're doing to become more authentically ourselves, the more we are able to authentically help our clients, and that our business will then authentically grow. And so I think it just comes back to, just that intuition and listening to yourself and trusting yourself and really being authentic with yourself, and then the rest kind of flows from there. So I guess that would be my last little piece.
Very, very well put. That's why we called it Rockstar Referrals with Coach Michelle. I know they're going to hear your enthusiasm and love for what you do. And that's what this is about. It's really like, I love how you brought in the pieces of loving yourself and trusting yourself. And having a business is such an opportunity to have healing in all those areas of your life that you mentioned, body, mind, and spirit.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
How can people find out more about you and your work?
Great. Yeah. So my website is healthcoachmichelle.com. And actually, I'm in the process of updating that. So that's exciting. I've launched an online program that I'd love to share with people. It's called Feng Shui Your Mind, Body, Spirit. And we have a great Facebook page. So if you go to Feng Shui Your Mind, Body, Spirit, you can follow us there. And we have an amazing self-contained online program that is really addressing health and vitality and wellness and abundance and joy and prosperity and all these wonderful things we want in our life from using the elements and using nature as our guide, and really just as we create flow in our space, we can create that flow in our mind and that flow in our body and our spirit. So I'm very excited about that. And all the other programs that I do, people can find out about on my Facebook page. I do a 21-day food-based cleanse. I do sugar challenges a couple times a year, because that's something that a lot of people really feel challenged around is sugar. Yeah. And so all of those things are on my website at Health Coach Michelle. And then that's also my Facebook page. That's also my Instagram. If you guys want to see what I'm cooking and eating, you can follow my Instagram at Health Coach Michelle. I've been doing this fun thing where I time how long it takes me to cook my lunch and trying to show people, it only takes 10 minutes to put together a really healthy, nourishing, delicious lunch. So there's that. And then my Twitter is just my name, Michelle Dwyer. So lots of different ways to follow me. Yeah. So thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you. And again, I want to just kind of put the invitation out there as well. I know you're working with a lot of rock stars. So if anybody wants to reach out again, open up that referral relationship or wants to, connect with me, I love talking to people. I love making connections with people. So if anybody is like, hey, that sounds great. I just kind of want to set that invitation and that opening that if anybody wants to just reach out and talk about our practices, I would, welcome that.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Michelle. It's been so much fun to talk to you. And I know I feel it, and everyone who's listening feels your energy, your vitality, your radiance. And so parting words is that you have the power to create the business and practice that is in your heart to create, and that you can create clients on your terms, in your way. And who are the people that are already in your life right now that you would love to work with, collaborate with, refer people to, and who would you like to receive business from? So as we heard with Michelle today, that there are all kinds of opportunities right underneath your nose. You don't know what kind of messages are waiting to pop up on your computer screen, but to pay attention, to be open, and the gift that you have to share is so unique to you, and there are people waiting and desiring what it is that you have to share. So until next time, have an amazing journey creating clients, Again, you can find me, Khadija Yansani, at bloomintoyou.com if you have any questions about creating clients, and I look forward to sharing our next interview series with you. All right, talk to you next time.